On today's episode, we're going to be talking all about frogs in Florida. We're going to explore some of the most commonly heard frog calls, where they live, which species they are, and how you can help frog populations.
Welcome to Naturally Florida, a podcast about Florida's natural areas and the wild things that live here. I'm Lara Milligan.
And I'm Shannon Carnevale.
This podcast is brought to you by UF IFAS Extension in Polk and Pinellas counties.
If you're listening to today's show around the time that we published it, then you will be listening in the middle of our peak rainy season. If you're catching up on episodes or if you're a new listener, first of all, welcome. Thank you. But we are recording and publishing this in August. So that is the peak of Florida's rainy season, which is why Lara and I are so excited to talk about frogs.
Yes, frogs. Okay. They are one of my favorites, and I'm starting to want to learn more and more about them. And perhaps you guys will as well after this episode. But Shannon alluded to this idea of rainy season, and that's why we're talking about frogs. And that might be like, I don't get it. So frogs are amphibians, which amphibian, that term, actually, it's a Greek word that means double life. And that's because they spend part of their lives in water and part on land. That's the way that they complete their life cycle. So without the rain, hence the rainy season, we won't have frogs. And that is when they are actively, for most species, doing a lot of their calling as well.
Yeah, thank you for clarifying that, Lara. The rain really is important to the amphibians. And if we think about all the areas in our favorite parks and green spaces, or even in our neighborhood that fill up with water after the first big rains of the season, we call those ephemeral ponds or seasonal ponds. And those are really important to the frogs too. So that's when they start looking for their mates. And we're going to get more into those calls shortly.
Yeah, I'm really excited to get into the calls. And I think a lot of you will have heard these calls before. And now hopefully you'll have a frog species to associate that call with. And when it comes to frogs, I always like to stress the importance of the species that Shannon and I are talking about. Because some people, as I've alluded to before, might not be a huge fan of frogs. But they are a critical food source for many of our predatory species. Think snakes, birds of prey, even some of our larger fish species, and even some of the larger frogs eat smaller frogs. They're also a really good source of pest control. So that's always a bonus, right?
That's my favorite role that they play.
Yes. And specifically, if you want to be a friend of the green tree frog, because they really like to feast on mosquitoes. So you could consider supporting them. And we'll talk about how you can do that at the end of the episode. And probably most importantly, frogs are considered an indicator species because frogs breathe through their skin anytime that they are exposed to chemicals or toxins that are either in the air or in the water. That can be an indicator that the ecosystem where they're found is in trouble. And we are seeing that honestly throughout the world. We're seeing impacts from human behaviors, but it's another important role that they play mostly for us.
Yeah, and talking about the green tree frog with mosquitoes, those are one of our sensitive frog species, I would call them. So that's always good to keep in mind. So let's just jump right into it. We're going to talk about several frog species that we have in Florida. This is going to be kind of similar in format to our owl episode that we did before. We can't possibly cover all the frogs, though. And why can't we cover all the frogs? Because there are so many. We have, roughly speaking, about 30 frog species in Florida. 27 of those-ish are native species. And then at this moment, we have 3 introduced species that are established in the state. So if you're interested in learning about these frog species beyond what we're going to teach you today, if you live in Central or South Florida, it's going to be a little bit easier. So North Florida, you are so lucky in that you have all 30 of these species. But that will make identification skills a little more challenging to learn. If you're in Central Florida, we have here in the middle of the state about 16 of the native species and all of the introduced species. And in South Florida, you've got approximately 14 of the native frog species and, again, all of the introduced species. So we'll include a link to the UF Wildlife website, and this will have a map for each of the frog species in the state. And it will go into a lot more detail about the ones that we're going to talk about today. all of the species we're talking about today are found statewide, with the exception of one, which is not found in South Florida. Not going to give you a spoiler, though. You're going to have to listen to know which one that is. And some of these species are statewide with the exception of the Keys or the Everglades. Something else that will help you identify frogs in the state of Florida is we keep them in three basic categories. So in our two previous episodes that we've talked about frogs, we've covered the Cuban tree frog and the cane toad. And those represent two of the three categories. So we have arboreal frogs, which are tree frogs. We have ground frogs, which include toads. And then we also have aquatic frogs. So like a lot of other species, knowing where you found that critter will help you identify it. And when it comes to frogs, if they're on the ground, in water, or on a tree or wall, that will help you narrow down your species significantly. The first one we're going to talk about very, very briefly is the Cuban tree frog. And we're only going to cover it briefly because we have an entire episode on it. Please go listen to it if you want a refresher on this species. But we wanted to include it here because it is so commonly heard. And they are very common in Central and South Florida. But if you're in the Panhandle or North Florida, there are also pockets of the Cuban tree frog there as well. They breed March through October. They have very loud calls. They can be heard all night. And if you're in an area with a lot of Cuban tree frogs, this sound that we're about to play is one you are probably very familiar with. So without further ado, we're going to play the Cuban tree frog.
Yeah, so if you've ever heard this call that has woken you up in the middle of the night, and I'm raising my hand, that is the call of a Cuban tree frog. And again, we're including this for many reasons, but mostly because if you are hearing that call, we would encourage you to go back and listen to our episode because there's actions you can take to help control populations of the Cuban tree frog because they are one of our invasive species. Now, to a native tree frog that,
whoop whoop. Oh,
I would say is by far the cutest. Like, it's just this plump. They have big eyes. Oh, they're just so cute. Okay. I don't even know if I said the name of it. It's the barking tree frog. They are another arboreal species, but this is one that's much more likely to be heard than seen. I have only ever seen one, and I work at a preserve. So
I don't think I've ever seen one.
They're
I've heard
so
them.
Cute. Yes. I kind of described what they look like, but more specifically, they're the back of the frogs. They have spots all on the back that are kind of surrounded by a darker ring. And again, they're plump, about 2 to 3 inches big. So one of our larger tree frog species. And the name barking tree frog kind of alludes to their call. It kind of sounds like dogs barking from a far distance away. So let's take a listen to the barking tree frog. So it might be a far stretch to say like distance dogs barking, but maybe you get the idea. And, you know, their calls can vary as well.
Yeah, that's important to know for all of our frogs. Much like we said with the owls, we're playing the common calls, the ones that you'll hear most frequently. But just like other critters, frogs have different calls for different reasons. And sometimes they're reacting to rain or a bunch of mating competition. So the calls do change. But that barking tree frog, man, he's so cute. So the barking tree frog is found statewide with the exception of the Everglades and the Keys. But if you're anywhere else in the state, you should be able to hear this tree frog. And they are calling most frequently in their breeding season, like most of these frogs, which for the barking tree frog is March through August. And like Lara said, you're much more likely to hear it than see it.
This next tree frog species that we are going to talk about is actually one that you have probably seen, and it's pretty distinct in terms of its appearance. It's the green tree frog. Green because their name. It is a very bright, distinctive green color. Of course, can vary, but generally speaking, bright green color. And they also have a really distinct white to yellowish stripe that runs along their body. And these are one of our larger tree frogs, up to 2.5 inches long. So I feel like all frogs are cute, but these are another one that I think are pretty cute. Their call, it's nasally. I can't really mimic it. It's repeated really, really quickly, like many, many times per minute. So let's just take a listen to this call.
So if you haven't heard that, I'm sure you'll hear it now that you've heard it before. So you'll recognize that call. You'll hear it a lot in Florida. And this is another one of our frog species that has another call that it uses after a lot of rain, or actually I hear it most often during rain. If I happen to be outside, they make a very specific call at that point too, but repeated really, really fast. And so green tree frogs are found in wetland environments all around the state. You will often see them near residences because they will be attracted to the light. They are found statewide, including some of the Florida Keys. And according to the Florida Museum of Natural History, we think that they might be changing their mating call slightly because of the competition for mating calls with the Cuban tree frog that we mentioned earlier.
Yeah, and that's super interesting because if you go back and listen to the Cuban tree frog call and then the green tree frog call, they do both kind of make like a meh. Like there are some similarities definitely in the sound of their call. So that's very interesting. Now we are going to talk about an aquatic frog species, the southern cricket frog, which I'm going to describe what it looks like first, but then I'm going to tell you something about their call that I hope will really resonate with you. I know it did with Shannon. So in terms of the southern cricket frog appearance, they are small, half inch to a little over an inch. They do have warty skin, but they have a pretty distinct Y-shaped line that runs along their back, and a darker color triangle kind of like between their eyes on the top of their head. And again, the colors among them can vary from tan, brown, and green, but those markings are pretty distinct with the southern cricket frog. So now that we know a little bit about what they look like, let's take a listen to their call. With this call, one association that you can think of is this call sounds very similar to if you were to take two marbles and clink them together, obviously at varying paces, but I don't know. I think that's like right on in terms of what their call sounds like.
Yeah, I would agree. When Lara told me this, it blew my mind because I had never heard that before, that analogy for the sound. But as soon as she said it and I listened to the call again, it was like lightning went off in my brain. It is identical. It's crazy. So if you have any marbles laying around the house, just like put them in the palm of your hand and clink them together. That's what the southern cricket frog sounds like. And so like Lara said, these are pretty common. You're very likely to hear these. They're found statewide, but they are not found in the Keys. And they can be found in some of our drier habitats as well. So they're going to be looking for those seasonal ponds that I mentioned at the beginning of the episode. But they will be breeding year-round. So this is also a frog that you can hear outside of the rainy season if we've had some recent rain.
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning of the episode, I mentioned that one of the species we're going to cover is not found in South Florida. And we are there. That frog is the American bullfrog, another one of our aquatic frog species.
Yes, and this frog is very large compared to the other species we've talked about, anywhere from 3 up to 6 inches, even as much as 8 beastly frogs.
A pig.
Yeah, so they're, in terms of appearance, they are more consistent from the other tree frog species that we talked about earlier. So they're greenish in color, and they kind of have a like netting web-like pattern on their back and distinct large eardrums that is very visible if you're looking at the side of the head. They also have webbed hind feet, which is a good adaptation for our aquatic frogs. Now, they also have a very distinctive call, and I'm not even going to describe it. I'm just going to play it for you guys. So let's take a listen.
So as you might have noticed, that call is pretty distinct from any of the other calls we've heard today. And that's a pretty good theme for the American bullfrog. That call is pretty simple to learn and pick up on when you're out hearing a ton of frogs calling all at the same time. Also important to note how big they are. And if you recall back to our cane toad episode, these can get that large. So remember, it's important to know where you're seeing the frog. This one is an aquatic frog. It's in the water. A cane toad will not be in the water unless it's a dog dish. So the American bullfrog is, as I said, found in North and Central Florida, pretty much north of Lake Okeechobee for the most part. They breed primarily April through October, and you can always keep an ear out for that very distinct, deep call. And now we're going to talk about my favorite frog in the state.
Yes, and this will be the last species that we're going to feature for you guys today. This is the pig frog. And I don't know about you, Shannon, but this is one that I so often at this time of year get visitors that come in and they're like, I heard an alligator on my way in. And I'm like, maybe, like maybe you did. However,
it's possible.
What you more likely heard was a pig frog.
Pig frog. Oh my gosh. So this is another one of those species where the name of the frog, like the barking tree frog, really gives away what the call sounds like. And I am sorry, I cannot contain myself. This is my favorite because they have the noise is just so silly. And we have them out back of our house on the chain of lakes in Winter Haven. And I love their call. And I love watching my dog like turn her little head to the side every time she hears it because it's such a funny little noise. And oh, man. Okay. I could go on forever. But pig frogs are just adorable. And I could see why people might confuse them with the sound of an alligator. But alligators are just so much louder.
Yeah. Like I always tell people, I said, the first time I heard an alligator call, the hairs on my arm stood up. So that's yeah. the level. That won't happen with a pig frog. So let's
no, you'll
take...
just giggle.
Yeah. Let's take a listen to their call and then we'll talk a little bit more about this species. It is pretty funny.
Oh my gosh, I love them.
Oh goodness. So it's a little pig-like grunt. Thank you for having a common name that's easy to remember. Now, this is another aquatic frog that looks and can be easily confused in terms of appearance with the American bullfrog. So I'll link a resource on how to tell these two apart in terms of appearance. We'll link that in the show notes. But they're the backs of the pig frogs are marked more with a blotchy-like appearance as opposed to the pretty distinct patterning on the back of the bullfrog. And sometimes more obvious than not that pig frogs have a little bit more of a pointed snout compared to the American bullfrog. So some ways to tell them apart, there's more that you could dive into if you wish.
And I have to say, when you hear this for the first time and realize that it's a frog and not something larger, you might be tempted to take your phone out and record it. While they will repeat their call, so it'll be like grunt, grunt, they might not do it again for like 2 minutes. And you'll just be standing there recording darkness. And so they don't seem to have a huge pattern in that way. Is that accurate, Lara?
Yeah, I would say in my experience, that's definitely, it's like, oh, did you hear that? You know, you'll be walking or hiking with somebody and then it's like cricket, like not crickets, but literally you're not hearing anything.
Yeah, yeah. This is another one of our species that is found statewide except for the Florida Keys. So I am so sorry, Keys residents and people visiting the Keys, you're not going to hear the amazing pig frog down there. But if you're up in peninsular Florida, you can find them anywhere there's a permanent body of water. They are fairly common. They're an easy call to identify. I highly recommend you try and listen for it. They do most often call during their breeding season, and that is April to August. Anytime it's a warm, wet night, though, I feel like you can hear them. And in the state of Florida, that is most of them.
Especially this year.
Oh my gosh, yes.
So that wraps up the species we're going to feature for you today. You can always come back and reference this episode. We are also going to link an amazing resource in the show notes for you to go in and you can select frog species and listen to their call as many times as you want and get familiar and learn them and become a frog expert yourself. Before we get to our call to action, I'm just going to go over some of the threats that are facing frogs really throughout the United States, but obviously applies here in Florida as well. Habitat loss, right? That goes for pretty much all of our wildlife species. Pollution, same, but more so impacts frogs because, like we mentioned before, they breathe through their skin. Climate change, they are pretty sensitive to changes in climate, and that is also the shift in rain events can also impact the breeding of these species. And then there are some specific diseases that are really, really impacting frog populations throughout the United States. So to make a happy ending to that, we're going to talk about some ways that you can help our frog friends. And we're kind of going to hone in on our food, water, cover, shelter that we've talked about in some of our previous episodes.
Yeah. The food, water, cover, space, that's the definition of habitat, if you remember back to our other episodes where we've defined habitat. So to help frogs in Florida, you can help by providing some habitat for them. Obviously, as natural resources agents, we always recommend the natural habitats if you can. And then if not, Lara's got some suggestions for artificial habitat. But if you're looking and have the space, consider planting some native vegetation that attracts pollinators, which are a critical food source for frogs. They also tend to provide better cover or shelter, which is not provided just by your traditional grass lawn. So think things like shrubs. I tend to find a lot of tree frogs in bromeliads and other things that hold that moisture for them. You can also find tree frogs in some of the iris species, and I've got some cabbage palms I find them on. So native vegetation that provides them the habitat cover that they look for naturally is important if you're looking to do that. Another important aspect of yard care is pesticides. And we have mentioned it in several episodes, but if we think about frogs and what they eat, they're primarily insectivores. So we want to make sure that we are limiting our use of pesticides to just spot treatments when necessary and not using broadcast pesticides year-round. Remembering again that frogs breathe through their skin and the chemicals can also directly harm them and removes their food source.
Yeah, and some other ways that you can support tree frogs. Shana mentioned that I was going to talk about artificial habitat. We talked about that too with our owl episodes. There's lots of things that we can do to provide for our native species. One, the more complex one, would be to create an artificial pond. Remember, amphibians, double life, need water and land. So you can consider installing an artificial pond, which does require maintenance, and we can link some sources in the show notes for how to do that if you want to go that route. Another less expensive, easier project is something called tree frog homes that you can create out of PVC pipe. And it's really pretty easy. It's just a 3-foot PVC pipe with thin walls. There's a specific diameter. And you kind of just cut one end at an angle, hammer it into the ground near some vegetation, the end. And you wait and observe, and you can see, and little frogs will find refuge inside the PVC pipe. There's a lot more to that. You could use it as a Cuban tree frog. I'm using air quotes again, trap. You can check it regularly if you know you have Cuban tree frogs in the area. So I'll link, there's a whole publication on tree frog homes that we will also link in the show notes.
And finally, like all of our other species profiles that we've done, a good call to action is to learn more about them. The more about them that you know, the more that you recognize their calls, the more you're going to realize they're a part of your daily life in Florida. And we can support organizations that are working on frog conservation. There are all sorts of organizations out there that you can volunteer for. You can submit frog calls if you're into recording them and sharing them. You can also just tell friends about frogs and the cool things you learned. All of those actions combined are essentially just supporting the organism by supporting the organizations that research and share information about them, which is one of the things that we're doing here. So thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode all about frogs in Florida and that it has inspired you to go out at night, listen to some frogs, maybe record them and share with a friend. And we'll see you next time on Naturally Florida. Thanks for listening to Naturally Florida, a podcast about Florida's natural areas and the wild things that live here. Stay updated on new episodes by subscribing on your favorite podcast platform. If you enjoyed today's episode, consider sharing it with a friend. Naturally Florida is produced by your hosts, Shannon Carnevale
and Lara Milligan.
If you have questions or suggestions, submit them online at naturallyfloridapodcast.com. This podcast is brought to you by the University of Florida's Institute of Food and Agricultural Sciences Extension, an equal opportunity institution. Thank you for listening.